Okay, good evening, everybody. Tomorrow's daf, which we'll be learning right now, is Yuma Daf Pei. We left off on daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis toward the bottom of the page. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. The first thing we're going to discuss is how we know that a shir kebeitzav, that the shir for Tumas Ochlin is a kebeitzav. The Gemara is going to say that there's a similarity between the idea of a shir of Tumas Ochlin being a kebeitzav and the idea of the shir of Achila and Yom HaKippurim being a kosebes. Both of those are unusual. They're both exceptions to the rule. Normally, whenever we talk about Tumas Ochlin, we always talk in terms of a kezayis. Then the Gemara is going to talk about keeping track of how much isser you ate, so that you can figure out what type of, whether you're going to be chayiv or karban bisman shebeis hamikdash, when the beis hamikdash is rebuilt. Because after all, the shiurim might change, and the Gemara is going to discuss, well, what kind of risk do you have that the shiurim might change, that people might paskin that a kezayis is smaller, that a kezayis is bigger, that you thought you did an isser and you didn't, or vice versa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the shiur of melol lugma, and how Malo Lugmav is affected by the size of the person that we're talking about, that the shear is different for different sized people. And then on the base, the Gemara is going to raise four different questions about universal standards for different shearim. Meaning, is it possible that that you're going to have the same shear of miyaspa daite, of what makes a person satisfied, or what makes a person what makes a person feel like he's eaten something, when it's og melech habashan and when it's a tiny person? And the Gemara is going to have four such similar questions. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about whether salt on a food or sauce on a food is mitzariv to the shear. And that's also going to lead to a discussion of achila gasa, whether achila gasa is considered to be an achila as far as isure achila are concerned. So let's begin the last few words on the page on Ayin Tes on Beis Tanya. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that talks about shiurim that relate to food, that relate to ochlim, and there's a difference between the shiurim of Yom Kippurim versus the shear of all other ochlim, of all other isurei achila. So Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe tells us that kol shiurim kulam bekezayis. All shiurim, not all shiurim, but all shiurim of ochlim, all shiurim of food are bekezayis. Chutz mi tumas ochlim. Except for when it comes to tumas ochlim, the halacha is that tumas ochlim is only when it's a kebeitza. The ability for food to transmit tuma is only if it's a kebeitza. Shashina kasev b'mashma'an, because the Torah writes the lashon of Tumas Ochlin in a way that doesn't say Achila. Achila is always a kezayis. So therefore, Vishinu Chacham b'shiuran. That was a tip off to the Chachamim that they should say different, that the shear should be different, that the shear should not be a kezayis. The shear is kebeitza. And if it's less than the kebeitza, it lacks the capacity to transmit tuma to other things. That's at least how Rashi writes on Chumash, and that's what Rashi writes in Pesachim Daflam Gimlam Beis, that Ochel could be mekabel tuma b'kol shehu, but to transmit tuma to something else, that's going to require a shear kebeitza. This is machlokas Rashi and Tosfos throughout Chas. There are stiras in Rashi throughout Chas. So whether that's true, that it could be mekabel tuma b'kol shehu, everyone agrees to transmit tuma needs a kebeitza. That's mefurish in the Gemara. But the question is, to be mekabel tuma, can it be mekabel tuma with less than a kebeitza? Can it be mekabel tuma with a kol shehu? That's a machlokas Rishonim. But either way, even to use the shear of a kebeitza when it comes to food is an unusual thing. It's an exception to the rule because the Torah doesn't use the term achila when it talks about tumas ochlin. And the raya that when the Torah doesn't use the normal term of ochel, that we then choose a different shear rather than a kezayis, is Yom HaKippurim, because Yom HaKippurim also doesn't use the term of achila, and therefore the shear by Yom HaKippurim is not a kezayis. So where do we find that by the Yisra of achila and Yom HaKippurim that the Torah says things differently? So the Gemara answers, Milo Su'una. What do you mean? The Torah, when it describes the Yisra of eating on Yom HaKippurim, does not say Lo Socha, Lo Yocha, Lo Sochlu, or anything like that. It says Ki Chala Nefesh Asher Lo Su'una Be'etzem Yom HaZev V'Nichus HaMe'ameha. That if you don't practice Inui, you don't do that which causes Inui, then there's going to be a Chiyuv Kares. So it's not said B'Loshon Achila. So Umay Shinu Chacham B'Shiureha. So what does the Tana mean when it says that therefore we change the shear as far as how much you have to eat on Yom Kippur to be chayiv? So where it says kakoseves, that's the shear of a koseves and not a kezayis. That's why we have a different shear when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. We don't don't go with the Shir Kasayis. We instead go with the Shir of a Kosevis. Siach Yitzchak points out that it sounds from the Gemara that the Shir of Kosevis is only Midrabanan, that the Shir is not a Shir Midaraisa, because it sounds like the Chachamim are the ones that, right? That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Shinu Chachamim Bishiurei. The Chachamim are the ones that changed the Shir. The Gemara in Ervin and Davdalav and Beis tells us that the Shir of Kosevis is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Right? The Gemara first thinks that all the Shirim could be derived from the pasuk that speaks about the seven minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. And the Gemara says, no, that's not really a drasha gemura, but shiurim, chatzitzin, mechitzin are all halach l'moshe misinai. So all shiurim, including Kosevus Agasav, Yom Kippurim, is halach l'moshe misinai. Halach l'moshe misinai is not a da'oraisa. So it could be that the shiur of Kosevus is halach l'moshe misinai, but says Siach Yitzchak, maybe the idea of going with the Kosevus Hagasa is midrabanan, difficult to understand. It could be that it's just that it's up to the, when we say midrabanan over here, we don't really mean midrabanan. Shinu chacham b'shiure means that the chacham understood that the Torah means to be mishana the shir, that the Torah means to tell us a different shir. Umay raya ledover, and where do we find, my raya ledover Yom Kippurim, where do we find in our Mishnah that Yom Kippurim is something that has a different shear because it's a different lashon? L'chaura, it's not mefurash in either place, neither by Tumas Ochlin nor by Yom HaKippurim. So how can you bring a raya from one to the other? Meaning, we're saying that, oh, you know how I know the fact that it says in a different lashon other than Achila by Tumas Ochlin that it must be a different shear? Because it said by Yom Kippur it says in a different lashon, not a lashon of Achila, and over there it's a different shear. But it's no more mukhrach by Yom Kippur than it is by Tumas Ochlin. In neither place does it say explicitly that there is a different shear, and in both places it just happens to not use the Lashon of Achila. So why is one a raya to the other? So says the Gemara, no, because the Imei Hasam, if it's it would have only been from Tumas Ochlin, where the Torah says, Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma Mikol Ochel Asher Yeachel, so it could have just said Mikol Ochel. Why does it say Asher Yeachel? Havamina Orcha Dekrahu. I would have said that's not really a Shinoi Lashon. That's the Derech of the Pasuk to write in such a way, just like it says by the mashke and the hemshech of the pasuk, it says v'kol mashke asher yishaseh. So it's not a shinoi lashon akasav that we're learning the different shear from, and that's why the Tanna brings a raya from Yom Kippurim that over there by Yom Kippur it's definitely a shinoi in the lashon of the pasuk, and that's why the chacham were mishan of the shear. So therefore, I can learn that by Tumas Ochlin also we should view it as a shinoi of the lashon of the pasuk, and therefore we change the shear because the Tos Yom HaKippurim points out what's the raya from Yom HaKippurim to Tuma, meaning it could be that by Yom HaKippurim that's Shina B'Lashono, and that's why the Chomer Mishanim the Shir, but that doesn't tell me that by Tuma it's a Shina B'Lashono, meaning it's still difficult to understand the Gemara, because the Gemara said, oh, I would have had to have a Mina that when it comes to Tuma Sochlin, that's the Derech HaPasuk. It wasn't, didn't write it in such an unusual way, it's Derech HaKra, it's the normal way of the Pasuk. Ah, but once we have it by Yom HaKippurim, we see that it's Shina B'Lashono, and therefore it's indicating a different shear. Says the Tos Yom HaKippurim, Me'echi Teisi, it could be that there are two different inyanim. When it comes to Tumas Ochlin, it's just the Derech HaKra, it's the normal way of the Pasuk. And when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, it's not the normal way of the Pasuk. And that's where it's Shina HaKasav. How is one Machriach on the other? So that's a difficult question. The Tos Yom HaKippurim leaves us off with the cryptic V'yesh Liyashev, but he doesn't tell us how. He just says, you know, there's a way to answer the question. So we got to think hard about how to answer that question. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses where do we learn the Shir of Tumas Ochlin b'Kabeitza? Tumas Ochlin b'Kabeitza min nolan. Where does that come from? The Shir Kabeitza. So Amar Rabbi Yavohu, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Damakra, because the pasuk says when it comes to food that's in a kli cheres that a sheretz had fallen into the kli and is therefore metame all the contents of the kli. It says mikol ochel asher yeochel, that all of the food that yavol of mayim yitma that already had been hukshar l'kabel tuma becomes tame. Now that's an unusual phrase. Mikolo ochel asher ye ochel. It could have just said mikolo ochel asher yavol of mayim yitma. Why is it asher ye ochel? So to tell me ochel haba machmas ochel veizazeh beitzas tarnagolas. It must be a type of food that comes out of another food. Right? What do they call it? Turducken. Right? But this is like a natural one. There's an egg that comes out of the comes out of the chicken. A chicken is a food, and now an egg emerges from the chicken. So it's a food that comes out of another food. So that's a shir kebetza. That's how I know that it's referring to a kebetza. So says Marva Ima Gedi. How do you know that that's referring to a kebetza? Every animal comes from a mother animal. So the mother was food, and the baby is food. So why don't you say that the shir is the shir of a gedi, which is obviously a much much larger shir. So the Gemara could have said, Tosi Yom HaKippurim says, the Gemara could have said Egel or Keves. It could have picked any even bigger animals. Maybe it's a cow. A cow also comes from a larger animal. So Tosi Yom HaKippurim says, and don't tell me the reason it chooses the example of a gedi is because Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta, that it wants to pick the smallest shir, because if it really wanted to pick the smallest shir, it would have stuck with an egg. An egg is much smaller than a gedi. So obviously it's not about trying, the Gemara has not yet thought of the idea of trying to pick the smallest shear, so it's just picking an example of an animal. So this is Ve'im Gedi. Says where no, a Gedi is not food yet, because it's Mechus or Shechita. It's not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin in that state. It has to be Shechted first in order for it to be Mekabel Tumas Ochlin. So says Gemara, not always. Ve'im Ben Pakua. The halacha is that if you Shecht an animal and you find a fetus, a baby inside the mother, the baby does not require Shechita on a Daraisa level. So it's already able to be Mekabel Tumas Ochlin. Says Mar, no, even a ben pakua, totum kriya. You need to tear it open in order to pull out all the dam, because the dam inside of it is asa b'achila. So since currently it's asa b'achila, it's not considered an ochel yet, and therefore this is not an example of an ochel that emerges from another ochel. This is assuming that you need to tear open a ben pakua. Rashi points out that that's what the Gemara in Chulin seems to indicate about a ben pakua. It says koro motzi as dama, that you tear it open and you're about the dam. However, Rabbeinu Yeshaya is quoted in the Shittim Kubetzas in Masechet Bavakama that a ben pakua is chayev b'nechira, meaning you tear it open. You tear open the whole length of the animal, and ton kriya means nechira, meaning that you're not allowed to just eat the animal, shoot it in the head and eat it. You have to do nechira. You have to do some sort of major killing act to rip open the animal. And in Nezar Kodesh, he says that Rashi only works according to the Shita that dam shelo pireish is also b'achila. That dam that remained in its original location in the original circulatory system where it was is also b'achila. If you assume that dam shelo pireish is mutar b'achila, then you would not need to tear it open in order to draw out all of the dam. So exactly what this totun kriya is subject to Machlokas Rishonim. Either it's a type of kriya that tears out the dam, or it's a type of kriya that you have to kill the animal in this more elaborate way, although it's not shchita. So, but bottom line is, it's not an ochel yet. When the animal, even a ben pakua, is not an ochel yet, because it requires some other step before it can become an ochel. So says Gemara, but still, how do we know it necessarily means a beitzas tarnagolas, a chicken egg? Ve'im a beitzas bar yuchni. Maybe it's a beitza of a very large bird. And the egg is much, like an ostrich egg or something like that. That's much, much bigger than a chicken egg. So says Gemara, because if you have a choice of which egg to choose, tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. If you're tafasta mua, tafasta. If you're given a choice of which, that the Torah is referring to some type of ochel that comes from another ochel, and you know that that's an egg, you pick the smallest available egg. And the chicken egg is the smallest available egg. Says Gemara, really? Ve'ma be'asa ditziporta, dezuta tuba. There are smaller eggs than chicken eggs, so maybe that's the shear of Tumas Ochlin. So the Gemara doesn't resolve that question. The Gemara just instead starts a whole different line of reasoning of how I know the shear kebetza. Meaning, we've been questioning the first answer. We asked, how do I know that a shear of Tumas Ochlin is a kebetza? Because it says, Ochel Asher Yeachel, that must be referring to food that comes from another food. So, and that can only be an egg. So the Gemara started asking questions. Really, it can only be an egg? What about a gedi? What about a ben pakua? What about an ostrich egg? What about a tiny egg? So we've hit a dead end. We don't have answers to the final question. So instead, we're going to say, you know what? We learned Tumas Ochlin b'kebetza from somewhere else. Rabbi Avo didei Omar mikol ochel asher yachel. Same phrase in the pasuk, but it doesn't mean what we said it means before. It means ochel shata ochlo bivas achas v'shiru chachamim Ein beis ablia machzik yoser mi beis es tarnagoles. That mikol achal shrei achal doesn't mean a food that emerges from another food. No, what it means is the maximum amount of food that a person can hold in their throat at one time, that the beis ablia is able to hold. And the shir is a kebeitza. Sometimes people try to be very machmir in the shir kezayis when it comes to achilas matzah on the night of the Seder. It's a laudable thing to try to be machmir in a shir kezayis, but if you're so machmir that you can't swallow it at one time, that it's humanly impossible to swallow it at one time, probably you're well above a kezayis at that point, because the Masara of Chazal is that the Beis Avliya can be machzik up until a kebeitza. A kebeitza is either two kezayisim or three kezayisim. So a kebeitza is much bigger than a kezayis. So nevertheless, that's how we know that the shir of Tumasochon is kebeitza, because that's what ochel asher yechel means. It's the amount of ochel that you can actually eat all at one time. So now the Gemara brings another memra that relates to shiurim in the Torah. So Amar Rav Elazar, ochel chel if a person eats chaylev bishogeg bismanazeh, so he knows he's going to have to bring a carbon, but there's no base of English, he cannot bring a carbon right now. Tzarech sheichtov lo shir. You should write down not just that you ate chaylev, write down how much, exactly the volume of chaylev that you ate. Shema yavo beis din acher v'yarbe b'shirin, because it could be that another beis din is going to come and teach us a different shir. They'll change the shear, so you're going to need to know whether you're in fact going to be chayav a carbon. Because if another basin comes along and changes the shear, it's going to have an impact on whether you really are going to be chayav a carbon. The achronim are bothered by the question: how could basin change the shear? Shearim are alach lemoshe misinai, so it's not shayach to have a machlokas or to change alach lemoshe misinai. There's a famous comment of the Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush Mishnayos that we never ever find machlokas by alach lemoshe misinai. So the Chavis Yari is a long tshuva where he gives like dozens of examples where we do find machlokas by Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but we don't find that you can change Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai existed, and then in a later generation they're going to change it. So different achronim have different approaches. The Briska Rav in the Kuntras Yuma Amud Chav Vav Amud Aleph suggests that the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is only on the shear that you're mishar b'kazayis, but it never quantifies how big a kazayis is. So it could be that the chacham in a later generation are going to paskin a different volume for gazayas. Other achronim suggest that the chashash is that they're going to find that Bezin made a mistake in their hora'ah about how to measure a gazayas, and that you could have even by Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The Bezin's application of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai was in error, and therefore a later Bezin is going to correct that error. Now certainly according to the Shitas Rabbi Elazar that the Shiurim are only Midraban and not Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, this would not be an issue. But the Pashtus is what the Gemara Neirvin says, that they're all Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, so that it's difficult to understand, and that's what the Achronim are working with. But bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar told us, meaning it could be that Rabbi Elazar is assuming it's only Drabanan, that's what some of the Achronim say, but Rabbi Elazar told us that write down exactly what you ate, so that you'll know for sure, whether it be, just in case the Chacham in a later generation are Yarbe B'Shiurin, you need to know whether you're Chayim a Karban. So my Yarbe B'Shiurin, what exactly are they going to do to this year? They're going to make a Kazayas bigger than it used to be? They're going to make a Kazayas smaller than it used to be? What are they going to do? So, name it the mechayvi carbon kazayis katan. If it's that you think that what you ate right now is less than a kazayis, because all of your rabbis tell you that what you ate is smaller than a kazayis, but a later generation might come along and tell you that even a smaller amount is still qualifies as a kazayis, and that's why you have to write it down, because you might still yet have to bring a carbon chatas when they change the share of a kazayis to a smaller amount. Vatanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us when it comes to carbon chatas? And we learn hashav miyidiyaso, maybe carbon al shugaso, lo shav miyidiyaso, eno maybe carbon al shugaso. The rule of bringing a carbon chatas is that a person is only chayav chatas is in a case where he ate b'shogeg. If had he known what he was doing, he would have stopped. Meaning, if someone would tell him, "Wait, that's chaylev," so he would stop eating it right away. But if this person in that moment thought that this is not a kazayas, he would not have been shav miyidiyaso, because he wasn't eating a kazayas anyway. So so that doesn't qualify as chayav karban chatas anyhow. So how can you say that that's the case? He's got to write down in his notebook, just in case he becomes chayav chatas. He can't become chayav chatas. He would not have been shav miyidiyaso. The achronim are bothered. What do you mean he wouldn't be shav miyidiyaso? After all, chatzishir is also Musar Min HaTorah also. So, and they don't say it like that. The way they say it is, Shatmi Yidiyasa means, had he had all of the relevant information, he would have stopped. If he would have had the information that that one day, this that really a kazayis is smaller than you think, he also would have stopped. So why is that not called Shav Mi Yidiyasa? So the Mishnah Lemelech writes in Hilchos Shgagos that even though had he known that Beis Din in his day were making a mistake and that this really is a kazayis, he certainly would not have eaten it. That's not called Shav Mi Yidiyasa because there's nothing that he will. It's not something that he would know except for when the Beis Hamikdash is built, and that's not considered someone that's Shav Mi Yidiyasa. So that's the discussion. The Rishonim raised the issue about Chatz. Shir, the other issue that I mentioned before, that l'chora he would be shav mi yidiyasa because chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. He's eating it because he thinks it's shuman. He's not eating it because he thinks it's chaylev. But had he known that it's chaylev, even if he thinks it's pachos mikazayis, he would not have eaten it. No one wants to violate isurim d'oraisa. He was doing it b'shogeg. He didn't know what it was. So for sure he'd be shav mi yidiyasa. So the Tos HaRosh writes, nevertheless, that's not called shav mi yidiyasa unless he'd be poresh on account of the fact that it's a chiyuv chatas. Meaning, shav mi yidiyasa means, had someone given him all the information at that moment, he would realize, uh-oh, this is a chiyuv chatas, and that's why he would stop. But considering that at that moment he would be under the impression that he's eating pachos mikashir, he's not eating that which is a chiyuv chatas. So that doesn't qualify as shav mi yidiyasa. So bottom line is that can't be the case. The case cannot be that you need to write down the volume of what you ate, lest chachamim in a later generation tell you that an even smaller amount than you think is actually a kezayis. Ella delom chayvi karbon adiika kezayis gadol. No, you know what the concern is? The chachamim in a later generation are going to increase the shear of a kezayis. And that's what Rabbi Lazar is advising, that if you eat a shear kezayis, that that you should not just write down on your notebook that you're chayav achatas, because it could be that you're not chayav achatas, because the later Bezin is going to come along and say that a kezayis is much bigger than you think it is, and what you ate is actually less than a kezayis, and really you might not be chayav achatas. So says Mari, you know, that's probably what Rabbi Lazar meant, but it's difficult to understand what the hava amina was in what Rabbi Lazar meant. What we originally thought, that Yarba Bishurin means that the Mechayvi Karbon HaKazayis Katan, that they're going to minimize the share of a Kazayis, my Yarba Bishurin. How could that, why do we even have a Havamina that Rabbi Lazar meant that they're going to make the Kazayis smaller? The words he used were that the concern is that they're going to be Yarba Bishurin. How does Yarba Bishurin mean that they're going to make the Kazayis smaller? Why would we even have a Havamina? How do we even start going down that road? So it says, no, Shemi Yarba Bekarbanos Machmas Shurin. It's not Yarbe b'shiurin. It's Yarbe in Karbanos because of Shiurim. That it's going to increase the number of Karbanos on account of the fact that they're making smaller Shiurim. Anyway, we rejected that Havamina, but here you see the Gemara is questioning what the Havamina even was, which is interesting. Sometimes you have to learn up a Havamina also. That's also part of the exercise of Talmud Torah. That's what Rechaim Vlazhner writes, that V'alo lo yibol, when the Torah says, afilu, when the Gemara says in Mesach HaSukkah, that from based on the Pasuk V'alo lo yibol, that afilu suchas chulin shal tamidu cham tshrikon li, Rav Chaim Velazhner writes that, what do you mean Sichas Chulin Shal Tamil Chamin? Since when does Tamil Chamin speak Sichas Chulin? They should always be talking Kalayomi Sichasi. They're always talking in learning. So what does it mean Sichas Chulin of Tamil Chamin? It means the Havamina this year that ended up being wrong. There's what to learn from the Havamina as well. So that's what the Gemara is questioning, a Havamina over here, even after we've rejected it already. So it's just asking what the thought process was. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Shurin Va'onshin Shurim of Achilos and Tuma and Onshin on Averos like Malkus and Misa all come from Halachal Moshe Misinai. Says Gemara, no, that's not true. Onshin Miktav Ksivi, you just have to read the Torah. It says Onshin Beferish in the Torah in many, many places. How could you say that's Halachal Moshe Misinai? It's explicit. Elahachi Kamar, Shurim Shel Onshin. The amount that you have to do of any given Isser in order to be Chayiv in an Onesh, Halachal Moshe Misinai. It's just saying Shurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But the nafkamina of a shir is that you chayiv an onesh when you do a shir. If you do pachas mikshir, then there is no chayiv of any onesh. Tanya amiyachi shir and shel onshin halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Acher mamrim beis dino shel yaybetz tiknum. Others say it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's the beis din of yaybetz. Who's yaybetz? That's Asniel ben Kenaz. He was misakin shirim, and it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Says Gemara v'aksiv eila hamitzvos. Pasuk says eila hamitzvos, and we learn from there shenavi rashi l'chadish dov me'ata that no navi is allowed to add or subtract from any of the mitzvos of Torah. So how could the beis dino shel yaybetz? How could Asniel ben Kenaz come and be mechadi shiurim that were not said halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Ella shachum v'chazu v'yastum. No, it must be that the shiurim were said l'moshe m'sinai, but it was forgotten, and then came along Asniel ben Kenaz beis din, and bekoch pilpulam they were able to bring back those shiurim. This is a Beferish Gemara in Tmura Daf Tazayin that tells us that there were 3,000 halachos that were forgotten b'yimei evlo shel Moshe. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu died, so the halachos chacham shemeis based midrash batel, but part of the avelus was that they lost 3,000 halachos, and Asniel ben Kenaz had to be machzir those halachos mikoach pilpulo. So that's what we're saying, that that one of those things, even though it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it was forgotten, and we had to rely on Asniel ben Kenaz to bring it back. Okay, now a new topic. The Mishnah said hashosim lo lugmav, that if a person drinks a cheekful of liquid on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayiv. Amr v'dem Shmuel lo lo lugmav mamish ela kol she'ili salken el sad echad v'yera'a kam lo lugmav. Lo lugmav doesn't mean it has to literally fill up your cheeks. It's that if you were to put it on one side of your mouth and it would look like it's filling up your cheek, that's also considered a malo lugmav. Meaning, what does it mean it would look like you filled up your cheeks? It did fill up that one side. No, it means if someone were standing looking at a, what do they call it when they're looking from the side? They're looking at the, you know, the side view of you, the profile view. So they would think that you filled up both of your cheeks because they only see one side of you, and they imagine that the other half of your face looks exactly like the half that they're looking at. So it's if you fill up one cheek and it's yirikum lo lugmav and it looks like you filled up both cheeks, so that's enough of a shir lo lugmav. Essentially saying you don't need to fill both cheeks for a shir lo lugmav, you only need to fill one cheek for a shir lo lugmav. So it says Gemara va'anantana and lo lugmav, but it says lo lugmav sounds like you need to fill both cheeks. So ema kim lo lugmav. No, we mean something that's like lo lugmav in the sense that from profile view will look like lo lugmav. So meis face. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, we have a brisa. Kami yishtav yei chayiv. How much does a person have to drink on Yom Kippur in order to be chayiv? Beisham yom revius, beisilam melo lugmav. Beisham he says a revius, and beisilam holds a melo lugmav. Rabbi Yudom Rishum Rabbi Lazar, kim melo lugmav. That it's like a melo lugmav. Rabbi Yudom Seir Omer, kedei gemiyah. The shear that a person is able to swallow at one time. But within beisilam, we see that you're only chayiv if you have a melo lugmav mamish. And the choru, we pass it like the beisilam. So that's why the Gemara is asking this as a challenge. Granted, one of the shittos we just quoted is exactly like we said previously, that it only is one cheekful, but that's not Beis Hillel Shita. And we always pass like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said, Melo Lugmav. Melo Lugmav means both cheeks full. So says Gemara, well, Mi Adifa Mi Masnisin, is Beis Hillel's Lashon any more clear than the Lashon we had in the Mishnah? Do Kimna Kadei Shehira, where the Mishnah also said Melo Lugmav, but we said it didn't really mean it. It means Kim Melo Lugmav. So Achinami, so when Beis Hillel said Melo Lugmav, also meant Kadei Shehira. He didn't mean that it's actually two cheeks full. He meant that which will look like two cheeks full from a profile view, because you actually only filled one cheek full. So says Gemara, yeah, but that was one of the other shittos. This Brisa quoted several shittos. It quoted Beis Shammai that said the shear is a revius. Beis Hillel that said it's a melo lugmav. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Lazar, that said it's kim melo lugmav. Rabbi Yehuda Seiru said it's kedei gemiyah. But if you're going to say that Beis Hillel's shita is that it's only one cheek full, well, Rabbi Lazar already said that it's only Rabbi Eliezer. Already said that it's only one cheekful. So then the Rabbi Eliezer and Beis Hillel are saying the same thing. So says Mari, Ikabinayu lugmav dachuk. Now they're arguing in a case where you don't mamish fill the whole cheekful. Where Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayiv even with that, but Beis Hillel says no, really has to be a melo lugmav berevach. It has to be a really strong melo lugmav. That's how Rashi understands. Meaning the Gemara doesn't explicitly say who holds what, which one holds they need a melo lugmav berevach, and which one holds that even a type of lugmav, but that's how Rashi understands. So the Gevurah Sari explains that Rashi says that based on the klal that the later Tana is always the more machmir Tana. So Rabbi Eliezer came after Shitas Beis Hillel, and therefore he must be more machmir that you're chayiv on even a smaller shear. So Beis Hillel is the one that's saying the larger shear, that it's melugmav berevach, and then Rabbi Eliezer says, nah, even if it's kind of a melugmav, that's good enough. So maskev l'Rav Hoshaya im kain, if that's the case, that the shear is kimel olugmav, that it's only one cheekful, havlimi klu v'sham mechum Beis Hillel, then it would turn out the Beis Shammai is more makil than the Beis Hillel, because Revius is smaller than, Revius is bigger than Malolugmav. Beis Shammai says you're only chayiv if you drink up until the Revius, which is more than a Malolugmav. So that is a major kula from Beis Shammai. And there is a there are two prakim in Mishnayis and Masech Sedios that go through all of the Kulei Beis Shammai and Chumrei Beis Hillel. It has a list of every time Beis Shammai is more Mekel, and this isn't on the list. So how come it's not on the list if really Melo Lugmav means Kimelo Lugmav? Samalei Rabba Ki Itchil Bogmel Chabashin Itchil. No, when the Shaila was asked in the Beis Medrash about how much you have to drink in order to be chayiv, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were commenting on their shitos, they were each offering their shitos, they were talking about Ogmel Chabashan. So his Melo Lugmav, even one cheekful, is going to be larger than Beis Shammai's Revius, and therefore Beis Hillel is being makel. For Ogmel Chabashan, he's being makel. That Ogmel Chabashan would have to drink a lot more than Revius in order to be chayiv in Yom Kippurim. Tavle Beis Shammai Luchumra. And in that sense, Beis Shammai is Luchumra. Why would they ask the Shaila only about Ogmel Chabashan? So the Sfasemis writes that for regular people the difference is minuscule. The difference between Revius and a Melo Lugmav, it may be a minor difference, but it's very, very slight. So the Shaila really matters when you're dealing with a very large person. So a very large person, whereas Melo Lugmav, his Kimelo Lugmav is going to be big, much bigger than a Revius, that's the only time the Shaila really, really mattered. Now what you do see very clearly is that we measure a Melo Lugmav based on the person, based on the individual. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa as wondering what the halacha is as far as the space that the teeth take up. Meaning, let's say a person just had a tooth extracted, or a couple of teeth extracted or knocked out of his mouth on Erev Yom Kippur. So his shir shtia changed on Erev Yom Kippur, because now there's more room in his mouth to fill up Melo Lugmav. He says it's very difficult to imagine that in a Zman Muat Kazeh, the shir is going to be the shir, because after all, these shiurim are yisumi daita. The assumption is that Melo Lugmav of a person will be miyasiv daita of that person. So all of a sudden, his eating habits are so different that now it's miyasiv daita. It's difficult to understand, meaning that there are things that take up space in a person's mouth, and things that that will remove space, that will clear up space in a person's mouth. So that's the suffix Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raises. Okay, so now the Gemara says, wait, you said that shiur Melo Lugmav depends on the person. So maskev l'Rabbi Zeira Meishna achilu dekol chad v'chad. Why is it that when it comes to achila, everyone has the same shear, the size of a ksav sagasa? Yet when it comes to shtia, everyone is different. Melo Lugmav, my cheek is the different size of someone than Og Melech Habashan's cheek. So I'm like, Abayis says to Rabbi Zeira, the reason that we're mechalik between achila and shtia is because kimelu the Rabbanan b'kakoseves the bahachim yas v'daite. The Rabbanan were certain that a koseves provides yishuv adas to everybody. Batzmei achalomi. And less than a kosevis doesn't provide yishuv adas to anybody. But b'shtia b'didia miyat v'dayte b'duchavrei lo miyat v'dayte. It's just the nature of the way achila works, different than shtia. When it comes to achila, you'll have yishuv adas no matter your size, based on eating a kosevis hagasa. When it comes to shtia, different people will have a different yishuv adas depending on how much drink they actually need. So now the Gemara asks, maskev l'Rabbi Zeira, kol olam kulu b'ka kosevis, ol gmel chabashim b'ka kosevis. Really, does that make sense that everyone will have yishuv adas, whether you're a tiny person or whether you're Ogmel Chabashan, with the same achila of a kokoseves? So I'm like, Kimu Rabban, the Bachim Yas Vedaite, Potsim Yachidom Yas Vedaite, Mihu Kulial Matuva Ogmel Chabashan Porta. So yes, it is true that you'll have Yishuv Adas with a kokoseves, no matter how big or small you are. The question is, how long will you be happy for? How long will it take you to get hungry again? So Ogmel Chabashan will get hungry much more quickly than other people, but so there is a difference between very large people and very small people, but the difference is not in the initial Yishuv Adas, in that first moment of Yishuv Adas, the difference is in how long that Yishuv of Hadas is going to last for. As opposed to by Shtia, apparently it changes based on the person, even in that initial moment. A similar style question, Maskev L'Rabbi Zeira, we have three more similar style questions. Maskev L'Rabbi Zeira, Basar Shamein, B'Kakoseves, Lovi, Gefanim, B'Kakoseves, if you eat fatty meat, the Tzmiyasev Daito, if you eat a Koseves of it, and if you eat Lovi, Gefanim, that also it's a Koseves, Basar Shamein certainly provides more satiation than Lovi, Gefanim. So if Basar Shamein is Miyashev Daito, B'Kakoseves, by Lovi, Gefanim, you should have to eat way more. So I'm Le'abayi, Kim L'Rabban, the B'Hachim Yasev Daito, B'Hachim Yasev Daito, B'Hachim again, the same answer that the Rabbanan had a tradition that this is the amount that's miyasiv daite. How long will that yishav hadas last? Okay, that may happen enough kamina, exactly what you ate, depending on what you ate. It may be a difference whether it's miyashiv daite or not. And then a third similar style question. Maskevla Rava. Rava raises the question that the shir of achila of a kezayis bichtei achilas pras. We always assume that in order to be chayiv for any iser, or in order to fulfill any mitzvah achila, it's not enough to eat a kezayis, one needs to eat a kezayis in the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras. A pras is a half of a kikar of lechem, the shear of a pashtos of a dalid beitzim, of four eggs. But if a person waits longer than that, in the amount of time that he consumes a kezayis, he waits longer than the amount of time a normal person would take to eat a pras, then he's the achil is not going to be mitzdarif, he's not going to be chayiv. The koseves, b'kdei achilas pras. So could it be that also in Yom Kippur, when it comes to eating a koseves, which is way bigger than a kezayis, that the amount of time that you have to eat that koseves is also b'kdei achilas pras? That why should the time frame within which you eat a kezayis for other isurim, and the time frame within which you eat a koseves in Yom Kippurim, be the same time frame? So I'm le'abaye, kimelu the Rabbanan, the Bachim Yasva Daite, b'tfei me'achilu me'asva Daite. The Rabbanan have a tradition that one only achieves Yishuv Hadas when he eats within that time frame. What is that time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras? So different posts can have different opinions, ranging from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. So Pashto somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between. Most posts say around 4 or 5 minutes is Kedei Achilas Pras. But when it comes to people who need to eat on Yom Kippur because they are a cholim, so we'll always recommend at first, see if you could eat every 9 or 10 minutes, and then if that's not doing it, so sometimes we'll say we'll try to knock them down to 5 minutes because it's still fulfilling most shitas in what Kedei Achilas Pras is. So now the Gemara asks a fourth similar such question. Maskev L'Rava, Kezayis B'Kedei Achilas Pras, Chatzi Pras B'Kedei Achilas Pras. If a person eats a Kezayis B'Kedei Achilas Pras, how could it be that if a person eats Ochel Tameim, that it's Metamei is Guth, if he eats only a Chatzi Pras, that the span of time within which you have to be eat a Chatzi Pras of Tumah in order to be a Metamei yourself is also Kedei Achilas Pras? So I'm there, Papa. No, you don't ask kashas about eating ochlim tameim that's metame your body. That's not a din daraisa anyway, so that you can't ask kashas. Does Rapapa really say that it's not a din daraisa? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say when it comes to machalos hasurus it says velos etamu bam v'nit meisim bam? So v'amar Rapapa mikan shetumas kviya daraisa, that pasuk is an indicator that tumas kviya is in fact midaraisa, and that's Rapapa, the same Rapapa. So says no, midrabanu cross. Really, it's the Rabbanan. When he says that Mikan, that Tumas Gviya is Doraisa, is Mikan, is a good way to remember it. Mikan is an Asmachta, that Tumas Gviya is Doraisa. And then one last topic for today. Kola Ochlim, he said all food is Mitzdarev to a Kosebes. Amra Papa, Ochl Umtsu Milcha, Avogav Delava Chilehu, Mitzdarev, Avogav Delava Chilehu. That if a person eats raw meat and the salt that's on raw meat on Yom Kippurim, the salt is Mitzdarev with the Basar for the share of Kosebes, even though the eating of the salt on its own would not be considered achila. Because now, since you're eating it together with basar chai, and that is normal to eat the salt together with basar chai, with raw meat, so it is mitzdarif. Amar Ish Lakish, similarly, tzir shal gabi yarek mitzdarif l'ksevs yom kippurim. If you have sauce on vegetables, so that's considered part of the shir of a koseves for the yisrov achila and yom kippurim. So it says Mar Pshit, of course it's mitzdarif. Why would Rish Lakish tell me that? It's raw. So why would it not be mitzdarif? So says more, no, I might have thought that the sauce doesn't have a din of an ochel, it has a din of a mashke. So kamash malan, kol achshuri uchla, uchlahu. Anything that's there to help in the eating of the food. It's part of, you know, it's part of the food in that it's a sauce for this food. That has a din of an ochel. Very important yesod that emerges from here, and that is that which defines ochel and that which defines mashke may not be whether something is a liquid or a solid. Here you have a liquid and it has a din of an ochel. Why? Because it's functioning as an ochel. The Taz writes in Orchaim Shem Reish Yud that it could be that we have such drinks. A person has soup, let's say. So do you follow shir of ochel or shir of a mashke? Are you eating soup or are you drinking soup? So it could be that if you have a thick soup with all the with a lot of vegetables or whatever, you're eating it like an ochel. You're eating it like a meal. It just happens to have a lot of liquid. So that could be that we measure based on the shir of the liquid. Rav Shachter quotes the Kashuk Lever Gon, the Eretz Tzvi, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frumer, the Rashiv and Chachmei Lublin, who suggests that when it comes to schnapps, that schnapps has a shir of exayas. That's what the Taz really writes. That schnapps is a shir of exayas because you don't use it as a beverage to quench your thirst or to take down food. It's its own independent thing, and it's more like an ochel than it is like a mashke. That's how the Kashuk Lever explains why Hasidim make kiddush on a very tiny amount, way less than a revius of schnapps, because maybe the shir is a shir kazayis, not a shir revius. Of course, Rav Shechter points out, well, if it's not a drink, then it probably can't be chamar medina either, and probably you shouldn't be able to say kiddush on it. But that's one of the justifications that's offered. Amrei Shlakish ochel achila gasa b'yom kippurim pater. If a person eats an achila gasa on Yom Kippur, he's pater. My time, ashalu su'una ksiv prat l'mazik, something that's mazik a person. Someone who's eating achil gas is mazik him, and he's just ruining the food, but he's not using the food in the normal way. That's not considered a violation of achil and yom kippurim. Amar b'yirmi amar shalakish zar shachla truma achil gas mishalim esakerin ve'ed mishalim esachomesh. If a zar eats truma as an achil gasa, he only pays the keren because he's ruined the truma. He's been mazik the truma, but he didn't do achila, and since it's not technically an achila, he doesn't have to pay the extra chomesh. Ki yochal prat l'mazik. It says kiyochal, then only then are yosef chamishi so alav. So as opposed to his mazik, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zar shekosei saorim shel truma mishalim eskerem veinu mishalim eschomesh. If he chews on saorim, on raw saorim, he pays the truma because he ruined the truma, he stole the truma, but he doesn't pay the extra chomesh. Kiyochal prat lemazik. Again, the same drasha. Kiyochal prat lemazik. Amar Rav Shizvi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zar shebalad shizvin shel truma veikian va'achlan acher. If a person swallowed something of truma and then he vomited it out, and someone else came along and ate it. Rishon mishalim keren v'chomesh. First person actually ate, so he pays keren v'chomesh. What does the second guy have to pay? Sheni and mishalim el dmei eitz and rishon levad. The second guy only pays the first guy the value of how much it would be worth after it was thrown up to be used for firewood. Because once the first person had eaten it and he pays the keren v'chomesh, they now belong to him. They belong to the first guy because he paid for it now. So now the second guy owes the first guy for taking his firewood and eating that, but it doesn't have the same din as having violated achilas truma. Okay, but this is Shem. We'll pick up at the two dots on the top of Pei Aleph tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful evening.